This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator here in studio, asking questions. We've got Monday Night Talk host and reporter Kevin Tonchi. Good evening, Kevin. And our own Charles Mathewson as well. Tonight, the race is for the 1st Plymouth District, currently held by Republican Matt Muratori. He's being challenged by Democratic Plymouth Selectman John Mahoney. Both are on the ballot for the general election for November 8th. Now, the 1st Plymouth District, if you're not sure exactly what it's comprised of, precincts 2 through 8, 10, 11, 12, 14, and 15. Is that not the precinct?
Not 11.
Okay, not 11.
10, 12. 14, 15.
Okay, let's get rid of 11.
All in the town of Plymouth.
There we go. Thank you. First person to correct me on that. Thank you very much. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. They can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes, please. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters, a lightning round where answers are either yes or no, and that's yes or no, or two sentences tops if we ask you for sentences, not yes or no with an explanation. And if there's enough time, we have the candidates ask each other a question or two. We also ask you to please keep your questions to about a minute. If you consistently go over with a few seconds grace time, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, that's right, you get the bell. This is not going to be like those presidential debates. You get the bell. You get the construction paper, too. Amy, please demonstrate. There you go. That's our own Amy. Green means go. Yellow means you've got 10 seconds. And red means stop. Okay? So we find if people look at those out of the corner of their eye that they really do try to follow the time limitations. Now, we did choose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie. So to give opening statements, first we'll have John Mahoney, then we'll have Matt Muratori, and then we reverse those at the end. So let's say good evening and welcome, and let's begin with our opening statement from John Mahoney.
Christine, thank you. It's good to see you. I'm glad I didn't have to wait another 2 or 3 years to see you, and it's fortunate to come back a month later. So I want to thank WATD and Mr. Ed Perry for hosting this forum. My name is John Mahoney, and I've had the honor of being involved in Plymouth municipal government for the last decade. First as a member of the legislative body, the elected town meeting from Precinct 3, then on the Finance and Advisory Board, and of course the last 8 years as a member of the Plymouth Board of Selectmen. I've been a resident of the district for almost 20 years. Two children, stepdaughter who's a 2006 graduate of Plymouth North High School, went on to graduate from Cornell in 2010 with a degree in communications, and a 10-year-old son who is currently in his fifth grade year at Cold Spring Elementary. I'm running for state representative in the 1st Plymouth District because I know that my experience and outside-the-box thinking will be an asset to not only the district but to the Commonwealth as a whole. Too often it is said that government needs to run like a business. You hear it a lot, but nobody actually does it. We have to break the perpetual cycle of raising taxes and just layering debt on the next generation. I'm a candidate who makes principled, conservative financial decisions that are always in the best long-term interest of the community. The town has a rare opportunity in the New England region over the next 5 to 8 years to set the next couple of generations up for success and leave a lasting legacy of affordable quality living, regardless of someone's demographic. I am the candidate that can help do that.
Thank you very much. That's John Mahoney in his opening statement. Now let's go to Matt Muratori.
Thank you, Christine and Kevin and Charles and Amy for hosting this tonight, and thank you to Ed Perry and the folks here. It's been an honor to serve as your state representative in the 1st Plymouth District since 2014. My wife, Kristen, and I live in South Plymouth. My wife's a local attorney. And I'm the proud father of 6 beautiful daughters. 3 are in the school systems, 1 in South Elementary, 1 in South Middle, 1 in South High School. I've been involved with the community for a number of years now. Right now, I'm a member of the PAC Board of Directors. I'm a member of the Sunrise Rotary Club, the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, the Plymouth Youth and Development Collaborative, the Plymouth Networking Group for Seniors, and I'm on the advisory board for members, advisory board member of the Elder Life Care Network. I believe my past public service as a selectman, as a member of the Advisory and Finance Committee, and on the Plymouth Council on Aging Board of Directors has really served me well in my first term as a state representative. It has really taught me how to actually work with people of all walks of life and across the aisle. I've been honored to be a part of the House the last 2 years. I've been appointed as a ranking member of Tourism, Arts, and Culture, the assistant ranking member of the Committee on Healthcare Financing, and a member of the Committee of State Admin and Regulatory Oversight, where I was fortunate enough to be chosen to be one of the 6 conference members to come up with the public records law, which is unheard of as a freshman legislator to be on a conference committee. Working in collaboration with the Plymouth delegation, the governor, lieutenant governor, the administration, we've been able to bring some things to Plymouth. Recently, we had a $4 million Mass Works grant, $2 million for the redevelopment Cordage Park, and $2 million for the town wharf, $302,000 to complete the removal of the Plimco Dam, $400,000 the last couple of years for the Plymouth 400, along with the development of a 35-member state commission for the Plymouth 400 and the decommissioning panel for the shutdown of Pilgrim, along with increased funding for the Council on Aging in the last 2 years and increased funding for roads. There's still work that we need to do. And I ask for your vote on November 8th.
Thank you very much. That was Matt Muratori, opening statement. Now let's go to our questions. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
We'll start with Matt. My question to you is name a bill or initiative that you've gotten passed or done for the first Plymouth District during your first term.
Well, I think it's not really a bill, but the initiative was the State Commission for the 400th. It started about a year ago working with the Plymouth 400 and the governor's office in trying to come up with a state commission to build a private-public partnership for the 400th commemoration. It's pretty clear that the Plymouth 400 on its own is not going to be able to raise $20 million, but having a private-public partnership would be able to do that. So we've been able to work on this and get the right people, I believe, on the commission that's going to be able to work with us.
If you're reelected, do you already have bills or initiatives that you're already looking to work on or that you'd like to work on?
There's some things that I think I really would like to continue to work on. I think the opiate bill was a good start. It was landmark legislation, first in the country, but there's still a lot more work to do on that. And I think with my healthcare background, I'd like to work on that a little bit more. And I also like to continue to work on behavioral health. I think there's a lot more that we can do as a Commonwealth with behavioral health. And again, with my background in healthcare, I think I can help with that.
Okay.
John, my question to you, actually, it's kind of a two-part question.
Sure.
Why make the jump from selecting to state rep, and what are you looking to get done in the district at the state level? And if you could, please be specific.
Kevin, I always do my best to be specific. Okay. So there's numerous things I would like to get done, first and foremost. And, you know, and it's difficult to prioritize, but I have a problem with Obviously, unnecessary taxation. And I'm going to give you two examples. 1981, the creation of the excise tax, which in theory was going to give local communities the ability to properly invest in the maintenance, modernization, and construction of roads. Okay? 35 years later, the town of Plymouth has $135 million debt. We take in $8 million a year in that tax. None of that goes to public roads. Not one penny. If we continue to ignore that debt for another decade, we will have an over $200 million exposure. So our debt today is greater in roads, is greater than virtually the combined budget of Marshfield, Pembroke, and Halifax. This Saturday, some of my opponent's supporters have a petitioned article at Plymouth Town Meeting to unnecessarily raise almost $40 to $50 million to throw money at roads and make the cost of living in the town of Plymouth unnecessarily more affordable. You have to bring integrity to the taxation process. We currently don't have any. You can see if the discipline was put into that tax back in 1981, Kevin, there would be no problems with roads across the Commonwealth if at least 50% of that revenue had been earmarked within the communities for the roads. Your unemployment rate wouldn't be 4.1.
Thank
it would
you.
Be
that
closer
was,
to 3%.
That was a minute. Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. Now let's go on to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates.
Let's consider your last names, Mahoney, Muratori. Can we assume that neither of you are from Pilgrim families? Yes? Okay. You're not a Pilgrim. Okay. Will you ask the state to increase its financial support of the Plymouth 400th anniversary? Matt.
Yes, I will. I think the state does have some skin in the game, and we've been able, as I said, get $200,000 each year the last 2 years working with the delegation, and I think it would be appropriate to ask for some more, but I also think the majority of it needs to come from the private sector, and I think you're going to see that happen.
John, more state money for the
$400,000? Sat down with Governor Baker a year or so ago. There was a meeting. We had a private 45-minute meeting with the board. I told Governor Baker about the 400th anniversary of the Jamestown celebration back in 2007. The budget for that was $30 million, 15 of which came from the Commonwealth of Virginia. The rest of it came from the feds and private sector corporations. The notion that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, with a $40 billion plus budget, has put any money into this is a fallacy. A couple of $100,000 is absolutely nothing. It should be millions, and right now we have got nothing. We need to improve our infrastructure. The return on investment in this event in 2020 is off the charts. So I certainly will ask for money. That's one of the first things I'll do, and it certainly has to be in the seven figures. Now, it doesn't have to be $15 million, but my God, it's got to get up into the, you know, into the $3 to $6 million range.
What is the return on investment for the 400th?
It's certainly, I mean, any social studies teacher around this country is worth their salt is going to do some sort of, you know, educational, you know, a curriculum around this event. The people are going to be coming into this community in droves, and we need to be prepared for them. And once they come in, and once they see some of the things that the town of Plymouth offers as far as, you know, ecotourism and, you know, the tourist destinations such as the Forefathers Monument and the Pilgrim Hall Museum. You know, we're always thinking about the Rock, the Plantation, and the Mayflower. You're going to get repeat business. They're going to go back to their communities. Hopefully, if they have a positive experience, this is going to trigger, you know, second and third visits back to the community. The return on investment is probably going to be at least $5 to $10 for every dollar that the state invests.
Matt, do you see a return on investment for the 400?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some people say it's just politicians and businesses that will make money off of this.
Yeah, no, as you know, tourism is number one in the town of Plymouth, and this is going to, you know, triple the amount of people coming to Plymouth, you know, not just in 2019, 2020, but this will go on as well. So there's an economic factor that will continue on for a decade or so beyond this. And John is right, you know, the school kids come here from all over, but now parents and others will come from all over the world, not just from the state or from the Commonwealth, but from all over the world for this. And the plan, this is an economic plan for the Commonwealth as well, to see this as something that's the beginning of the 400 celebrations for, you know, for Quincy and for Boston and for other communities as well. So this is just the beginning of that, and you'll see that over the next decade and a half, that this would be an economic driver for the Commonwealth.
Did you want to make another comment?
Just a quick little comment. 10 years from now, in 2026, you think for a moment that Boston, in 2030, will celebrate their 400th, will have received nothing from the state? That won't happen. They're going to get tens of millions of dollars.
Okay. Matt, you sponsored a bill in 2015 to eliminate time and a half on Sundays aimed at retail establishments. Could you explain what was in the bill and why you sponsored it?
Sure. Thanks for bringing that up. That's come up a few times, and I really like to talk about that. That's elimination of the blue laws, actually. The blue laws were put in back in 1982 or 83, I think it was, and this is a refile of a bill. When I first came into office in 2015, they give you 10 days to file bills. So I was given a few bills, and this was one of them. And to my surprise, it actually came out of committee, out of the Labor and Workforce Committee, which is, as you know, there's 13 members of the Democratic side and 3 on the Republican side. And Senator Dan Wolf and John Seibeck, Representative Seibeck, are the chairs of this committee. And when I talked to them about, you know, why it came out, they explained why it came out because they thought it was going to be a $15 increase they wanted to push through. For not just retail, but minimum wage for everyone across the board. So they wanted to limit the amount of time and a half. So I met with the unions in charge of retail and talked about this, and we actually came up with, we talked about, you know, grandfathering people in. So we were able to do that. Seibeck, who's the chairman, actually filed a bill to amend the bill to actually have everyone grandfathered if the bill ever did pass.
Okay, that was fine. I want to go, John Mahoney, question for you. Fisk, you talk about you always want to be careful with taxes, fiscal responsibility. I know you're a Democrat, but you sound like you've got a lot of the hallmarks of a Republican. Convince me you're a Democrat.
I am a Democrat. I'm a very fiscally conservative Democrat, Christine. I've knocked on a couple thousand doors. People want to know about predominantly about property taxes, okay? If I hire you to run a radio show at WATD for 45 years and I pay you $30 million a year, and after 45 years, I've paid you between $1 billion to $1.5 billion, and you go to retire and you have nothing in a retirement account, whose fault is that? That's your fault. Okay, the town of Plymouth has taken in 46 years over $1 billion from a nuclear power plant. Okay, that's bad fiscal policy. The general fund does not work. We have cut back for virtually four decades, trying to offset the effects of that revenue stream, which is transcendent in the history of New England. We're down to 80% of our budget is human resources. Okay? When you create a new tax, you don't allow a community to put it into the general fund. Example, meals tax in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and paying for in its entirety a $38 million investment in the downtown, the new town hall.
Thank you very much, John Mahoney. Now let's go to Kevin Tauchi.
I want to kind of jump on the Pilgrim nuclear power plant situation. We know that it's slated for shutdown in 2019. What are your concerns about the power station as it goes offline, and if you're in office at the time? I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of work leading up to the shutdown, and that there's going to need to be a lot of work and a lot of conversations held, not only with officials on the local level, but on the state level. What do you want to do to make sure you're protecting not only the residents, but the taxpayers of Plymouth? John?
Kevin, the single greatest thing you can do is you've got to learn from the past, and you've got to take those lessons and apply them to the future and the present. And, you know, Einstein said that, you know, his definition of insanity was repeating the same experiment over and over and expecting a different result. And I sat with my opponent for 4 years on the Board of Selectmen. I tried to get some of these initiatives done, and I struggled with him to get these through town meeting. I have a history of getting things through town meeting, solid legislation that puts this community on better financial footing. The single greatest thing you can do is invest in infrastructure. Now, textbook example, find a new revenue stream and dedicate it towards roads. You will reestablish integrity in that tax, and you will not have to borrow money. I'm disappointed in the supporters of my opponent with that article going to town meeting on Saturday. It is a blatant attempt just to make more housing more expensive in the community. And the other significant issue you're going to have with the power plant is safety. We want to get that spent fuel into the dry cask storage as soon as possible.
Thank you, John Mahoney. Now, he just mentioned you, Matt, in his statement. Do you want to react to the comments that Mr. Mahoney made?
No.
Okay.
But if you will.
I do want to answer the question.
I do want you to answer the question,
please.
If you will.
Yeah, so the biggest thing with the plant, obviously, is the safety of it. We want to make sure it's going to close, it's going to be safe, and it's going to be safe after it's closed. I've been on the Entergy Working Group panel that's been going on for almost a year now that Chairman Tavares has put together and been attending these meetings, and we've been working with the folks from Vermont, Yankee, to find out what that closing has been like and what needs to happen, what things should we be looking at. And that's how we came up with this decommissioning panel that will include all sorts of people, not just locally, but on the state level as well. So the state will have skin in this game as well. But I think the safety is going to be the number one issue, that we make sure that it remains safe after it's closed. And I agree with John that we do need to make sure those spent fuel rods are put in dry cast storage, you know, very, very quickly within the first 4 or 5 years.
If I can ask just a quick follow-up question, and that is, with that property, is there anything that could be put in, almost like when a contractor is going to build something, what's it called when you have them put money into escrow? Is there a way to have Entergy have money in escrow, so if, in fact, that property isn't put back, is not safe, or there's any issues with it down the road, that money will stay in escrow in case the town has to go back in there and do anything? John?
Well, it's a 1,600-acre parcel, and it's, you know, obviously it's privately owned. Currently in the decommissioning fund, Kevin, they have about $900 million, and the estimates of that, they need almost $1.3 billion to decommission properly. I hope that they begin the decommissioning process as soon as possible. They have the option of going safe store, which is a 60-year process, by which, in theory, they continue to make contributions into the decommissioning fund with the hope that eventually there is enough money in there to pay for decommissioning in its entirety. Of course, that's in theory. I don't believe that'll catch up with the investment return will stay above, the rate of inflation or whatever it's going to cost to decommission. You have a situation there. We're on the Atlantic side. There's about 130, 140 acres. There is a potential for a power line to come through the Gulf of Maine underneath the ocean floor in 5 to 10 years and potentially give the revenue stream coming through the switchyard there with the existing infrastructure of $1 to $2 million a year. But at this stage of the game, we're currently in negotiations. They are a active power plant until May of 2019. Okay. And we're on the verge of announcing a pilot program extension for 2 years.
Thank you. That was John Mahoney.
Same question to you, Matt. As far as money in escrow to protect the taxpayers and the residents where it's not something that they'll end up having to pay for down the road somewhere.
Yeah, it would be nice in theory to do that. And what's happened is, as John has indicated, the $900 million that's in there now for decommissioning is in there. The reality is that Entergy actually owns the plant. And the other reality is there's going to be spent fuel rods and dry cast storage on that plant. So you're not going to be able to really do anything with that plant until those dry cast storage are actually gone from the plant and removed. And the federal government has fallen down the job on that and hasn't been able to make that happen. And we hope, that that's going to be happening over the next decade or so to get this out of here so it can be sold.
And just a reminder, you're listening to a political forum here on WATD. Candidates for the 1st Plymouth District, that's the incumbent, Republican Matt Muratori, his challenger, Democrat John Mahoney. Now let's go to questions. Charles Mathewson.
Just because the power plant is in Plymouth and this district is entirely in Plymouth, let's continue with the subject. It's so important. There's a commission named by the governor and others. Will it have any difference in what happens with safety or economic development with the plant, or is this just another commission? Matt.
Well, again, on the Entergy working group that we've been on with Chairman Tavares, we've actually spoken with the folks from Vermont Yankee for several meetings, and they had one of these panels up, and that's where we actually got the idea. So Vinnie DiMaceto, myself, Tom Coulter, Sarah Peek, and a few others got together and put this through rather quickly, and this did pass in the last day of session. So it has made a difference in Vermont for the items that you just said, for economic development and safety, and we believe it will make a difference here in Plymouth as well.
John, is the commission effective? Will it be effective?
Every time I see a federal official, I tell them that in this area of the state, the number one issue is that power plant and safety. Whether it's a U.S. senator, a congressman, and certainly in Bill Keating's district, it is that power plant. I traveled earlier this year to Vernon, Vermont, met with the town delegation. We went up, I think there was 6 or 7 of us, and we went up and met with the officials from Vernon, Vermont. And they had been a year or so into their process of, the beginning of the decommissioning process. And we met some of their committee members, and we attended a meeting at a local school. We attended for about an hour before we were to get back in the van and head back to Plymouth. But the NRC is almost untouchable. These plants have been built up by the U.S. Congress and the House of Representatives, where they are virtually untouchable from a local or a state official. So I believe that This commission will have a little bit of good, but it's only going to go so far as a divide that you can bridge down in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. Any more follow-ups on Pilgrim, Charlie?
No.
Okay. Let's go to John. If you're elected, will you resign from the Board of Selectmen? And what about your job? What's your plan if you become the next state rep? What's going to change with the roles that we know you in?
In the early 90s. It was a change. It was a bylaw change to prevent individuals from doing both jobs. Even if that bylaw change wasn't there, Christine, I would have resigned from the Board of Selectmen. Now, if I had the option, maybe I would have waited until the second Saturday of May or the third Saturday in May and just finished out 4 or 5 months so that the board wouldn't have been down a body. But I would have resigned without being told. And having said that, I'm taking a significant pay cut if I were to get this job. At this stage of the game, and hopefully that's a bridge I get to cross. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there, and I'll figure that out. But right now, I have a passion for this. I bring a certain energy level to the job, and obviously there are philosophical differences between my opponent and myself.
Okay. That was John Mahoney. Now go to Matt Muratori. Is there any issue that you don't agree on with the governor?
It's a good question. There's a lot of things that that I agreed on with the governor, and I'm sure there's been some things that I haven't agreed on with him with, but I can't think of anything on top of my head right now.
Okay. Just like even five extra seconds to think about
it? Yeah, I'm not really thinking of everything. We actually meet monthly, and we talk about a lot of issues going on in the state, and there are some things that, you know, just, you know, we have in philosophy, and that's fine, and that's okay. And that's what this process is all about, is about creating ideas with each other, and it's okay if you don't agree all the time.
Okay. Kevin Tonchi, do you agree with that? I'm just kidding. Question for the candidates.
The opioid and drug epidemic remains probably one of the top issues in the Commonwealth and a lot of the forums that we have here on 959 WEETD. If elected or re-elected in November, what are you willing to offer in the way of new ideas, worker support in this area? Matt.
Yeah, it is. It's still a number one issue. There's still four or five people dying on a daily basis here in the Commonwealth, and it's not getting better. And actually, when the governor was signing the opioid legislation, you know, he did say it's going to get worse before it gets better. And this is just the beginning of what needs to happen. There's still a lot more that needs to be done. I think with my healthcare background, I can continue to help in this area. I do think there needs to be more work done with the insurance companies to have more access and better access and financially viable for folks that are trying to get treatment. We all know somebody. We all either have relatives or friends, and it's just affecting us in so many ways, and it's killing a generation, and we need to do more, and I believe with this administration, this legislature, we will do more.
Same question to you, John.
Yeah, we have to solve this problem from the, you know, from the beginning to end. I think I was here 6 weeks ago or something, and, you know, we're over-medicated as a society. The prescriptions have got to be cut down. That's where it begins. You've got to prevent the volume of these opiates from getting out in the street. You look at the end. Where's the treatment? Where are the beds? Okay. And maybe most importantly, these children get out of school if their parents are working. They're most vulnerable in that 3 to 7 o'clock range, 3 to 7 p.m. They need after-school programs. They need libraries. They need any opportunity they can where they can go and, you know, whether it's recreational or educational or something like that. And we've got to invest in those programs so they're not getting swept, you know, and lost in this, you know, in this wave. Unfortunately, I'm sure my opponent knows, I went to another wake a week or two ago, and it's just sad.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to follow up, if I can, real quickly. The one thing we've been doing in Plymouth, we've been working with the Manomet Youth Center and the Manomet section of Plymouth, to develop that youth program there for the age groups that John was talking about. So there's an after-school program there now, and their buses actually go there. And that was a year ago. This year, we've been able to work with the Boys and Girls Club. So the kids from the North Plymouth, from North High School, are actually now getting bused to the Boys and Girls Club as well. So that those kids from the, you know, from 3 to 6 o'clock are getting busy. Now we're trying to work with the YMCA in South Plymouth to try to develop something very similar there. But you know, we've got to keep the kids busy. That's one of the many issues of this opiate crisis.
Okay. Charles Matthewson, questions for the candidates?
We've all been in the weeds of this opiate horror. Let's take a step back. Ideally, should those people and entities who profited from the misrepresentations of synthetic opiates, that they were not addictive, should they help us pay for the police, the firefighters, and addiction treatment? Why or why not? Matt?
I agree 100% they should. I think it's criminal what's actually happened. So, you know, if there's a way to do that on a state or a federal level, I'd be all for it. And again, I think I go a little further too, which there's probably some criminal negligence in there as well.
John, what do you think about that?
These products are getting more and more powerful, more and more addictive, and all these people are doing is they're making money. And unfortunately, it's pure capitalism. They don't give a damn. I think a year or two ago, Peter Holden from, you know, the former Jordan Hospital showed up in the meeting. Right out of the box, like I said a few minutes ago, we're overprescribed. And if there's any way of doing that and getting some sort of financial assistance, I would be all for it.
Thank you.
Any follow-ups on that, Charles?
No, I think I know these two guys, and I know their commitment to solving this problem, and it's just it's tough because you know, you, as John said, you go to another week, and well, what do you think of the job that our chiefs of the fire and police department are doing?
They've done a magnificent job, and I see them as leaders in the Commonwealth for things that they've been doing, you know, both chiefs. And, you know, I applaud their you know, the police and the fire force, all the men and women as well, for what they're doing. You know, and we need to do more with them and the EMS as well. I mean, they're seeing this happening on a weekly and a daily basis. And the psychological ramification, I don't think we've even touched touched that yet. And we really need to be taking care of them even more so than what we're probably doing at this point.
Get John Woody.
Yeah, you've got two, obviously our public safety chiefs are two of the best in the business. It didn't take long for all the officers and all the firefighters in the community to start carrying Narcan. And obviously...
with no objection, no union objection.
Correct. Mm-hmm. They did the right thing. And by the way, they always do. Mm. I think it was the fall of 14. We gave the police department 9 incremental officers for a street crimes unit to... you know, helping this problem, and it is imperative that no matter what happens, and you can see a couple of things changing down the road financially, especially with respect to the plant, you've got to maintain 7 fire stations in the community. You're 104 square miles. There might be some sort of suggestion down the road that saving $773,000 by closing one of them is some sort of financial responsibility we have to do. If you close one of them and go down to 6, response time goes up 4 to 8 minutes, and you will lose more lives because these individuals will not get Narcan soon enough.
Yeah, but reducing the number of fire stations makes sense because the population is reducing, right?
No.
Matt, you had a follow-up.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that. And actually, when John and I were on the board in 2013 is when Chief Botteri brought this really issue to us and talked about this in executive session, then brought it in public. And we agreed as a 5-member board to actually fund those 9 officers before even town meeting actually approved it. Actually, I think it was early 2014, before the fall town meeting. So we were ahead of the game and saying, you know what, we need to do something. And we rolled the dice, you know, hoping that town meeting would approve it, and they did. But we started well before that fall town meeting.
And to be clear, they're not on the addict side of things. They are busting dealers.
Absolutely.
Every week.
Every week, every day.
Okay. Kevin, did you follow up?
Yeah, just, well, not so much a follow up, just as something that you can attest to, Christine. Too many mornings I'm sitting in and, you know, doing news, and you hear from different communities, especially Plymouth, where there's an unresponsive individual that EMS is being sent to or the fire is being sent to. It's on a regular basis, and it's at an all-time level that you sit there and you listen to it, and it's just sad. You're like, you're hoping that they're not going to be a DOA. You know what I mean?
So. I just want to ask you a quick follow-up to that. What about some of the people that get hooked on these drugs that didn't start as a prescription? They did it because it was part of a certain culture, a certain part of a youth culture about trying things that are dangerous. How do you change how kids are influenced, the peer culture? That's probably one of the strongest influences in their life. And until you change that peer culture, it's going to be tough to change anything. Mm. Any ideas? How do you change that? Kids are kids. They think they're invincible.
Oh, I don't know, Christine, I go back to when I was in high school. You never saw any of this stuff. At least I didn't. And, you know, obviously I run into a fair amount of my classmates, and we all tell the same stories. And now it's virtually permeated, you know, every social stratus, you know, level. You have a pretty strong bullying program in the Town of Plymouth Education Forum. They talk about that. They're proactive with respect to drugs. And, you know, you can just do everything that you can in your power to provide the school side with the tools that they need to, you know, be proactive about this.
Okay. That's John Mahoney. Same question, Matt Marturi.
Yeah, I talked earlier about being on the Plymouth Youth and Development Collaborative. It's been a group that got formed about 3 years ago when I was a selectman, and I'm still on that group. And it was formed by the school and the hospital, really, is how it all started. And it was really about the kids and how do you educate the kids? How do you lessen that peer pressure that you're talking about? How do you get the kids busy during the time frames and active and move away from that? So there's so many legs to this stool for this opiate, and that's just one. of many that we need to continue to tackle.
Okay. I want to move to the lightning round now, and this is where the answers are either yes or no, or...
It's my favorite.
My favorite, too. One or two sentences tops, and the reporter will ask you what kind of an answer they're looking for, whether it's the yes or no or the one or two sentences tops. Let's start with our own Kevin Tachi. Questions for the candidates. Lightning round.
I'm going to go with multiple choice here, guys. Listen up here. Okay. Bottle bill, multiple choice. Needs to be, complete this sentence, A, stay the same, B, be updated, or C, be eliminated. Again, bottle bill, multiple choice. Needs to be, and then fill it in.
Updated.
That's Joe Mahoney. Matt Mariteri, stay the same. Charles Matthews in question.
Of the presidential candidates who didn't make it past the primaries, who do you prefer, Matt Mariteri?
I'm sorry, here.
Of the presidential candidates that didn't...
That didn't make it.
Didn't make it. Who do you prefer?
John Kasich.
John?
Mr. Sanders.
Okay. I'm just going to do a quick one here with the four ballot questions. I want to know where you stand with the ballot questions. Question one, would allow the Gaming Commission to issue an additional slots license for or against it, John Mahoney?
No.
Okay, Matt Mertori, for or against. All right, question two, authorize the approval of up to 12 new charter schools or enrollment expansions in existing charter schools by the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education per year. Matt Mertori?
Yes.
Yes. John Mahoney?
Blank check for government. No funding mechanism? Absolutely not.
Okay. It was either yes or no. Now, question three, would prohibit certain methods of farm animal containment? John Mahoney, support or not support it?
Given the chickens and the cows the room they need to.
Okay. That's a support. Matt Mariteri?
Yes.
Okay. And question four, would legalize recreational marijuana for individuals at least 21 years old? Matt Mariteri?
No.
No.
And John Mahoney? Okay. Question, Kevin Tachi.
If a bill to reinstate the death penalty was proposed, would you support such legislation? Yes or no, and if needed, one or two sentences.
No.
That was John Mahoney. Matt Mariteri?
Yes, in particular cases, particularly when it comes to police officers and law enforcement.
Okay. Charles Mathewson.
Are you satisfied legislating, or would you prefer executive power, Matt?
Legislating.
John?
Well, if I can get elected governor, I'd attempt to do that. But at this point in the game, I'll take legislating.
Another question, Kevin Tachi.
I'm going to pull this one out of the come on, Christine, pile. Plymouth County government, for or against it?
Matt. Christine asks us every time.
You're done. for it. I think they can do some good regionalization for us.
John Mahoney, county government. Two sentences, because I know you've got more.
Yeah, I might spend some of my final statement going into that. That's a tough one, Kevin. We've been under duress from them for 5 to 8 years now on a fair amount of issues, lawsuits and things like that.
Just two sentences. I know it's tough.
Relationship Especially is broken, John. And it needs to be fixed.
Okay. One more lightning round question, Charles.
If you had the following career choice, would you prefer to be a police officer or a firefighter, Matt?
Oh, that's a tough one. They both have real tough jobs.
That's, you know.
Oh, my God.
That's why I'm on the side of the table, Matt.
I don't want to do either. I'm sorry. I got a great deal of respect for what I do. I don't think I could do it.
Okay. What about you, John?
I missed my window of opportunity.
I mean, as from a personality point of view, do you want to arrest people or save them from a burning house?
Think about the calendars.
Maybe a police officer. Who knows?
All right. Now I want to go to the part of the show where we give the candidates a chance to ask each other a question or two. John Mahoney, do you have a question for Matt Mariteri?
Yes. So we talked about the opiate issue. And obviously, I reviewed some of my opponents' votes in the legislature the last couple of years. So we talked out about how important on the opiate issue it is to have the children occupied in that 3 to 7 p.m. range where they need something to do recreationally or, you know, educationally. So a lot of votes, Matt, you know, against libraries, against after-school programs and things like that. So how does that fall into supporting, you know, what we need to do to get done for opiates?
Well, I don't think the government has to do everything. And I think it falls on the communities and the people in the communities to do things, as we are doing in Plymouth. with the Boys and Girls Club helping out and providing, and the town is providing either transportation. So again, going back to private-public partnerships. Same with the Manumit Youth Center and the schools, you know, providing an opportunity to the Friends of the Manumit Youth Center, you know, providing the funding, you know, for these kids to be doing things after school.
Okay.
But at the same
follow-up question?
Yeah, but at the same time, you're preventing funding from getting to the Plymouth Public Library, and that library in this region is utilized by a fair amount of the community.
Sure, and I think I had there was more votes in the library that I did take. I'm not sure which one you're actually talking about, but overall, I have supported the libraries and have supported funding for the libraries.
Okay. Matt, do you have a question for John Mahoney?
Sure. John, in the last, you said 8 years as a selectman. Can you give us maybe, you know, top three accomplishments that you think you've done working with the board?
Well, you know, you served with me for 4 years. Everything I do is the long-term best interest of the community. Obviously, did an analysis of the revenue stream from the plant. Failed fiscal policy. We need to change our behavior. I was able to establish a nuclear mitigation fund that I believe that you support and ended up getting through a town meeting. I initiated that. Initiated the expansion of town sewer. We took it out 44. We picked up 201, the industrial lots, only one residential, which was Algonquin Heights, making our sewer enterprise fund more sustainable by bringing in 200 incremental industrial lots. Potentially, at this stage of the game, it's about a 285,000 incremental gallons per day. We had about 45% unused capacity. And then, obviously, last year's town meeting, once again, my overall philosophy is if you want to stop the growth of property taxes, you stop putting all new growth into the general fund. Got a piece of legislation passed where we would take finite revenue streams from our pilot programs with wind and solar and earmark them for water improvement projects.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. Now, we've got a few minutes left, so I want to go to your final statements. Remember, they can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes. I just saw a sigh of relief from both gentlemen here. So let's start with Matt Muratori. Yeah, it was the big sigh. I like that. My dogs do that while they're sleeping. I know. Matt Muratori. Matt Muratori, your final statement for us
tonight,
again, please.
Well, again, thank you to you and the folks here in WATD. I also want to thank my family and my supporters for all they've done in the past and will continue to do throughout this campaign. Without them, I would not be here today. I love this community. I love my job, and I want to remain in this job so I can continue to advocate for fiscal responsibility and more efficient state government, increase in local aid to the cities and towns, economic development opportunities, and continue to advocate for small business and entrepreneurs to grow and thrive in Plymouth and throughout the state, to enhance the Plymouth 400 Group. And as a small business owner and a healthcare administrator for over 25 years, I will continue to work on enhancing opioid crisis legislation and work towards creating more awareness on behavioral health. It's been an honor to work with our delegation, Senator Vinnie DiMicito, Representative Tom Calter, and Representative Randy Hunt, and the Governor and Lieutenant Governor for the betterment of Plymouth. I will continue working with the people of Plymouth and the leaders of Plymouth on the challenges and opportunity facing our community to help us prosper. I'm deeply committed and fully understand our community, and I believe have the qualifications to continue to serve as your state rep. I'm Matt Muratori. Thank you for listening. I respectfully ask for your vote on Tuesday, November 8th.
Thanks a lot. That was Matt Muratori. Now we go to final statement from John Mahoney.
Once again, Christine, thank you for hosting the forum. Always, you know, love coming up to Marshall and seeing Ed Perry. You know, he's always got some wonderful stories. My name is John Mahoney. I'm asking you to vote for the state representative position in the 1st Plymouth District. The election is on Tuesday, November 8th. My website is www.mahoneyforstaterep.org. If you want to get involved, go to the website, and there's numerous links. This comes down to the values in the district, okay? Now, we talked earlier about unnecessarily layering debt on the community and making it more unaffordable to live in the community, which government is obviously has a habit of doing. When you talk about the values in blue-collar, middle class, and we look at 1762, which you alluded to earlier, these individuals in the Commonwealth, they're struggling to get by. Okay, so the instincts of an elected official have got to be knowing what is in best in the long-term interest of the Commonwealth and the district. And telling these people that we're going to take money out of their pocket is completely inappropriate, and it's not financial conservatism. These people are struggling to maintain their homes. They're struggling to rent. They're struggling to get by. We're aggressively taking money out of their pocket, and it's a further assault on our family values and weekends. I mentioned Mr. Sanders yesterday. He changed the whole dynamic of the presidential race in talking about closing the gap. That was a piece of legislation that was going to expand that gap and make it a struggle for people to get by. They want to work on Sundays because they're finally getting a decent rate. They're spending more time away from their family and friends because they need that revenue to pay the bills. So, obviously, there's, you know, numerous philosophical differences between my opponent and myself, and this is one of about half a dozen forums, and I look forward to the next 4 weeks. The election is in 29 days, and once again, I ask for your support.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. You've been listening to both candidates tonight for the 1st Plymouth District, the Republican incumbent, Matt Muratore, John Mahoney, his Democratic challenger. Those precincts, the correct precincts, are 2 through 8 in Plymouth, 10, 12, 14, and 15. And, of course, we will bring you complete results on election night. We've got reporters out in the field. We'll let you know the winners in every race, whether it's the president all the way to the county commissioners. And as I remind folks, you can listen to this tomorrow. We'll have the entire forum up on our website as well. And I appreciate everybody joining us here tonight. We're going to take a quick break and come back and have the candidates for the Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate Street. But remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. We'll be back right after this.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.